Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone to Informal Paranormal. I'm John Rossi, and I'm here tonight with Michael Jones. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guy. How's it going?
It's going real well. Hey, tonight we have a special guest. We have Frank Polefka from Adventure Myths. Hey, Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing good, John. How you doing?
I'm doing real good. I'm really pleased to have you on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, Frank, we have a lot to talk about tonight in only an hour. And I want to encourage people, anyone that has any questions in the chat room, to go ahead and post them, and we'll try and get to them. And if you want to call in, our number is 347-957-7799. Frank,
yes.
You have a very unique group in terms of its orientation and history. You're not the average paranormal investigating group, so... why don't you tell our listeners what makes you different from the rest?
I'd be glad to, and I thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to come on here and talk about that. Interesting, you know, I first started out years ago doing a lot of residential investigations. I worked with a local paranormal group in the D.C. area, and we did private residences for a number of years, and you know, with a lot of these cases we went on, there was never enough gratification on either end, I believe. And you guys know as well as I do, when you go out to do investigations, you're not always going to have activity. It's rare when you go to a private residence that something's going to happen when you will it to happen. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, and I never really felt that we were actually doing justice back to the client. I mean, we would take our photographs, we would do EVP experiments, and even to the point of doing some clearings. I didn't really get involved with that, but others in the group did. But it was basically on one of our international trips over in Ireland where we were at Mark Cree Castle, and I know that they're having a big event there this year for another live investigation, but myself and Jonathan Ness where he's my vice president of operations in the group. We were sitting in front of this giant fireplace with, believe it or not, a bottle of rum, and just going back and forth, you know, on, you know, what are we doing here? You know, I want to do something different in this field. I want to be able to do something like nobody else has done so far. You know, we focus all of our time on these private residences where we're not sure there's really anything there. I want to take that focus, and I want to steer it on things that are there. I want to go to historical locations where hundreds of people, even thousands of people, visit these places, and they all document seeing the same things. And when this happens, and it does all over the U.S. and even, you know, internationally, when you can go to a location where hundreds of people go and they all report seeing the same things, very similar with what they see and hear, then there's a lot more validity in that, and that's something that, you know, I want to investigate. So in doing so, we decided to focus primarily on historical locations, and that was the premise of what Adventure Myths was built on. Now, evolving from that, basically what we decided to do was we both Jonathan and myself are avid videographers and got into the editing realm back years ago. We also worked on a TV pilot for a show called The Haunteds. And actually, thehauntedz.com is still online. You can still go and see the pilot that's up. But we got involved a lot in the video aspect from working with the production company that basically was, you know, running the show on that. And that stemmed us, you know, we want to do something different here. We want to take our investigations and we want to document them, but we also want to tell the story of the personal accounts, the actual evidence, and, you know, a lot, just the story itself. It's been passed down for years upon years from different people that visit these places. So we started putting together these high-quality mini documentaries, if you will, for YouTube. And that was kind of our way of giving back to some of these places that we were going originally. YouTube was our avenue to release this information out to the world, and that's how we started back in the in early 2007, January 2007. So basically, we started out with these mini documentaries of these places, and then this evolved to, you know what? Let's do a full documentary, something that we can start from beginning to end, 45 minutes to an hour, and then I want to publish this. And I want to take this piece of work and not only publish it for us, but I want to give a certain ownership right back to the client, back to either the board, you know, the board owners, the people who are there on the ground, and let them produce and sell this documentary and reap all the profits back to go into the facility itself. And we've done this on several different locations, historic Sodley Mansion in St. Mary's County. We've done this at the Samuel Mudd House in Waldorf, Maryland, and also just recently at Iron Island Museum up in Buffalo, New York. And what's interesting about the Mudd House, and John, interrupt me anytime if you need to break in here and stop me from
running. No, you're going exactly where I want you to be going with this.
Well, the Mudd House was interesting because when we first went out there, we had the local newspaper come out, the Maryland Independent came out, and they ran a story on what we set out to do. Local filmmakers set out to make ghost documentary. And we started that project in April of 2009. 6 to 8 months later, we finished putting together the piece, this documentary, went over and gave it to them, signed documents, you know, allowed them to have partial ownership and reproduce it and sell it. Well, the paper went out again in the summer, I think in the summer of 2009, when the economy was kind of, you know, basically at its bottom. And one of the articles that they had put in the paper was about the Samuel Mudd House and how tourism has spiked due to, you know, ghost hunters had gone out there as well as our documentary. And people were coming in, they wanted to see the place. And that right there for me, that basically hit the nail on the head to show me full circle that the mission, the concept, and the idea was coming together, and that's what we want to do. Even if they only have enough to buy a bucket of paint, maybe some new boards for a hand railing or a new post, that, you know, for whatever reason, it's something they didn't have before, and it's something that we contributed back to them, and it gives us more self gratification in the group that we have done something to help preserve this location for generations to come, people who want to go out and see these things, experience the ghost side of it, or just the history side of it itself. And I think that's what makes Adventuremas different than any other group that's out there. We have a structured group. You know, just about most of the members of the group are all professionals in the field, whether it's IT, law enforcement, security, firefighter, paramedic. To me, we're all professionals, and we have a core structure in the group. We have a five-year plan, if you will, which we're coming up to exactly where I want to be in that five-year plan.
Hey, Frank, I just want to say something real quick about professionals and stuff. And every team out there says they're professionals. Well, you guys are the real deal. I mean, you're professional in the truest sense. You come in, you're treating the clients with respect. You're treating the location with respect. Your knowledge of your equipment. I mean, from a technical standpoint, you know, you guys were totally on your game. Your knowledge of the paranormal, right up there at the top. And, you know, I just want to make it real clear because, you know, people use that. Everyone's going, I'm a professional, we're a professional, our team's a professional. And the reality is most of the teams out there are professional, like the lady that stands out on the corner and offers you a good time for $20 as professional.
Right.
And you're clearly not in that category.
I appreciate that. Appreciate those remarks as well. It's taken a long time to get to where we are. You know, and it really starts, to me, you can have an idea. You can put it down on paper. You can write it out. But if you don't have the right people around you to make that dream a reality, you know, it's really not going to get off the ground. And the foundation, it really starts with the core members that I have in this group. You know, Jonathan, Michelle, Dusty, Vicky, and Mike are just, they're phenomenal people. They go above and beyond. You know, we all have full-time jobs, and this is also, it sometimes can be a full-time job. I mean, we try to make fun first, but a lot of times, you know, when you get into the work of the video or producing documentaries, it can be extremely exhausting and take up a great deal of time. You know, Jonathan just invested over 6 months of time in editing the Iron Island Museum. And, you know, this is on the shelves now up in Buffalo, New York for Halloween, for people to come in and purchase, and that money is going to go right back into the museum. And, you know, he doesn't really get anything except for the satisfaction of knowing, again, that we've done something. So, again, I appreciate that, and that's what we strive for. We want to make that mark when we come out, when we do these things, when we meet these clients. And it's difficult. And you know as well as I do, sitting at the table, which you were, when we sit down with these clients and I come out and I try to explain to them what we want to do and what we offer to them, and they look at me with this deer in the headlights look like, you know, are you out of your mind? You know, you're not going to put some kind of percentage on this back for you? And, you know, it's not always about that. You know, we try not to make it about money right up front. Money's great. You know, if we can make enough to buy some batteries here and there, fantastic. But, you know, it's not about that. The satisfaction of, as for any paranormal investigator who's listening, the satisfaction of hearing that unexplained disembodied voice, you know, or those when you say knock, you know, knock twice for yes and knock once for no, and it happens. And you look at your partner and you're just in that amazement of, what was that? That payment. That's what it's all about right there, is being able to document these things and then analyze them afterwards and say, this is what caused that. Or, you know what, guys, I really don't know what caused that. You know, we've actually hit the mark on something here. That's where we get paid at, you know, and that's the research, and that's what it's all about. So I think you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to just let you know that Jonathan and Vicky are in the chat room, so you better only say nice things about those two, because they're listening to you.
I would have nothing but nice things to say. And Vicky, you know, Vicky is – she's new to the group as an investigator. I've known Vicky for quite a long time, but she's been the narrator on our DVD work for quite some time now, since earlier in the year with Corbin Cabin. But, you know, I've got to – let me say it right now. I'm not in the chat room. If I start looking at different things and trying to talk, I'll get – it's like chewing gum and walking. I'll get mixed up. But, you know, I really – she was basically in with both feet at Historic Jordan Springs. That was her first official – investigation, and basically we stuck technical equipment in front of her with this expectation of, okay, you got it, you know, figure it out, because I got to do this and I got to do that. We were a little short-staffed that, you know, that night on our end, and basically that's because, you know, the reality of, hey, everybody really does have, you know, full-time jobs, and sometimes that gets in the way of our hobbies, just like everybody else out there. But I really, you know, I have to thank her for hanging in there and you know, getting through the technical side as well as sleeping in this haunted house.
You know, I got to tell you, every time you referred to it this last weekend as a hobby, I just absolutely cringed, because you know what? You guys are so far past being in the hobby place. This may not be your full-time job. This may not be what pays the bills. But you guys are anything but hobbyists.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, we try to treat it that way, and that's how we want to come off. And we've had people ask us that before. You know, so it must be great being able to do this full time and get paid for it. And I look back at it, I'm going, God, I wish that was true. You know, because it's really not. You know, we, again, you know, payment doesn't come in the form of a check, unfortunately, not yet. You know, and that's part of the 5-year plan. I mean, there's, you know, that's one other thing that kind of makes me a little nervous too about the future is, you know, you see a lot of these shows that are on the different networks, and I think. And Jonathan will probably chime in the chat room. Really, one of the big networks that we would really like to look at would be the History Channel or the Military Channel. We don't want to get involved in really any of the other shows, because when we can produce, edit, direct, film, and do everything on our own, we eliminate that factor of, well, you guys got to make this a little bit more interesting. We need to do this. We need to do that. And I'm not saying that's what goes on, but, you know,
right. Well, you know, actually, you know, from what I've watched, you know, most of it's just, it's reality TV, right? And they're going to throw drama in as much as they can. And that's, you know, they need to show the truth of what's going on, and not the fact that they're doing an investigation in an hour, which actually took 2 weeks just to get the film footage they had, you know.
You're right. And they really need to do, they don't cross-analyze enough of the evidence. And, you know, I just see all the different EVPs, and I don't know, you know, we did, Jonathan and I actually sat down months and months ago. We did a quick little video, basically it was called Speaking Out on EVPs. And I wasn't trying to stir up a frenzy in the paranormal realm community, but I just got sick of going and listening, seeing YouTube, all the different EVPs, people just walking around with a digital recorder, smacking it up against their pants leg, their jackets, and, you know, there is a science to it as far as I'm concerned. And we basically, we have procedures. We have a, you know, a fully blown out handbook in our group that all of my members go through and review. But when we do EVP, just like we were doing on the live stream footage from historic Jordan Springs, basically we have what we call the triangle. And we put two cameras, you know, basically in two different directions and a recorder on the other end of that triangle. So basically we have three different areas where we can analyze if we hear anything, if we see anything. And all members are in view at full time. You see our hands, you see our feet. We want to rule out, not just for the viewers, we want to rule out for ourselves. We didn't move, we didn't do anything, you know, inadvertently and create some sound. And that has helped us quite a bit with confirming some of the evidence that we've picked up over the years. So when we take the time, I guess, to do this and to develop this procedure to make sure that, you know, it is what it is, and then I see some of these other things, you know, I had to just kind of come out and make a statement and try to have just a few people stop and think, and, you know, maybe we should take this a little bit more seriously, because you're giving all of us, you know, if you put up 1,000 EVPs, you know, and I put up my one that took me 3 months to capture and to capture correctly, basically, you know, you've kind of downgraded the whole concept for everybody in the field.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
You're absolutely correct.
That goes back to something I noticed when I was watching the live broadcast. You were talking about that light, which I guess we'll get to in a little bit. But I noticed you didn't say the word orb.
No, yeah, we don't like to use that word. And we don't in our group.
Well, it's just misused. Yeah.
It is. You're exactly correct. There's so many, like up in the billiards room, you know, that room had that kind of a, I'm not going to say it was a nappy carpet, but it was a thicker carpet in there and the long drapes. And that stuff collects dust. You know, when you walk around on it and you start snapping photographs, you're going to get 1,000, you know, balls of dust, which we call orbs, you know, or humidity outside, moisture. I picked up tons of pictures outside that night with orbs, and it was humidity. It was moisture in the air, you know. For me, when I see, and I actually captured one, is that on our website? I'm not sure, but I picked up an anomaly in Ireland in Ross Castle, and it is anything but an orb. It is actually a shape of an apparition of what looks like a 14th century helmet and shroud and robe of a soldier standing in this great dining hall. And when we saw that picture that night, and I don't want to jump off topic, but we went there, but we're staying in the castle, and we're up in this dark, dank room in this castle with a laptop, and I'm looking at this picture going, is that what I think it is? And there is no Holiday Inn within 5 minutes from here, so we're stuck now, you know? So, and that's, you know, I've only captured maybe 3 photos in the years that I've been doing this, and those are 3 photos that I can tell you without a doubt there's something in those photos, and you look at them and say the same thing. You know, it's not a first glance, oh, that's just a ball of dust. You know, that's a reflection off a mirror. No, these 3 photos have something genuine in them. So I think that's what's, that, you know, that goes back to the difference of evidence and notoriety. And
one of the things, you know, I just want to point out, you know, you guys, first of all, have obviously taken the time to learn your equipment, understand your equipment, understand the strengths and weaknesses of that equipment. You guys have taken the time to create a manual. You have protocols. You know, those are all the kind of things that we at Paranexus, you know, have tried to formalize through our training programs and our certifications, because the reality is the vast majority of the people running around saying they're investigators are anything but. You know, they're essentially tourists that have, you know, decided to get off the couch, buy a flashlight and a cheap, you know, recorder, and they're going out and they're, you know, they're saying they're an investigator, yet they don't have any of the skill set.
Yeah.
I mean,
I agree.
You know, your folks have all kinds of skill sets that lent themselves to being good paranormal investigators.
You're right. You're right. You're definitely right. You know, especially the law enforcement side of it.
Right.
And, you know, these guys are trained to analyze this information and break it down. And we look at, you know, all these the different natural causes that can be. And sometimes other groups get annoyed with that, you know, because you really want to – you want to believe. But when you lose that skepticism, when you lose that, then you're really no longer an investigator in my book. And you've got to maintain a certain level of that. And sometimes – you know, it's hard to admit, you know what, that was a pipe in the wall. You know, and Jonathan and I mean, we, in the Soderly DVD that we've done, Historic Soderly Mansion in St. Mary's County, you see us right in the evidence piece of, I'm flipping out because I hear these rock-solid footsteps, you know, which you hear on the video camera, and he's standing in front of me while this is going on, bouncing up and down, going, I don't know, man, it might be the floor. No, it's not the floor. Well, let me see. You know, so we have that difference in the group, which is great because you need that. Everybody can't be basically agreeing at the same time. There has to be someone else who, you know, might want to look at it from this perspective or that perspective. And, you know, that's how we get our evidence. You know, we analyze it to the full extent. It's a community-wide, you know, effort within the group, and sometimes we'll farm it out to other people that we know in the industry. But to close out on that EVP, I'd like to go back to – I'd like to start talking about Historic Jordan Springs if you're ready to get into that, John.
I am always willing to talk about Jordan Springs.
I can get back to my other stuff here in a minute, but that was again, we really appreciate, you know, you contacting us a while back and talking about this. And we started talking about this back in the summertime, but to plan this out for October, you know, to be able to get out there and when the weather cools down and make this happen was great. And the live stream, you know, the live stream always, for whatever reason, you know, this is the second time we've done the live stream. We did the first one up at Iron Island Museum in Buffalo, New York. And, you know, that was okay. It was good, but it could always be better. You know, that's how we look at everything. What can we do to make it better? Well, we tried bigger equipment this time, you know, a different web stream account, you know, with the live stream, which really worked, you know, very well. I think for the most part, just getting through some of the technical issues, and that was a lot to do with the Wi-Fi connection, because Historic Jordan Springs is not right beside a Verizon or an AT&T or a Sprint. You know, they're kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
That's correct.
And you've got all these different elements, you know, that are there that could also be a factor. You know, as we all know in the paranormal community with all of our equipment, when you have any type of possibility of energy manifestation of a spirit, it's going to affect your equipment, your batteries, everything, and you're going to have complications. But back to that white sphere of light, you know, I still focus on that.
Frank,
yeah.
Not everyone might know that story. I kind of talked about it last week, but there's probably some people here tonight that I don't see that were there. So why don't you kind of
All right, I'm going to digress. Let me digress a little bit, and we'll go back to kind of a quick summarization of that live stream footage. We started that live stream broadcast at Historic Jordan Springs back on October 9th, Saturday night. And basically we started out with Colt and Tony, Colt Nutter, who is the – and John, you have to correct me. What's his title there?
He's the executive director.
Okay, executive director. And given a history of the facility, some of the different personal accounts, some of the stories that have happened to them, and then we tried to do a mini tour for as long as the Wi-Fi would let us go. It was an invisible leash on the camera and the laptop that we cut out quite a few times trying to bring that visual, you know, image to the folks at home. But we did different things. We did just to get to the point of doing the live EVP in the ballroom. And we had us all sitting around the table, and we put together the Adventure Miss, you know, plan for the EVP, which is the pyramid setup where we had the two cameras and the digital recorders. That way we can capture at least those different aspects of the room. Well, lo and behold, during this EVP session, you know, we're trying to communicate. And, John, I'm going to let you talk. If you wouldn't mind, maybe you can explain about who we were trying to communicate with.
Well, we've gotten a number of EVPs over the years in that location of a little boy named Edgar Brown. And essentially, we were trying to, you know, talk with him. And all of a sudden, things started to get kind of interesting for a little while there.
Oh, they certainly did. You know, we were asking for some type of...
Okay, hopefully we're back on the air. Let's see. And I still have Frank.
I'm still here.
Okay. Now let me see. Can you hear us now?
I hear everybody, except for...
Let's see. Okay, we're in. Okay, Frank, we pretty much have lost. I think we lost it when you first were starting to talk about the ball of energy that you saw.
Okay, let's go back then. We'll go back to we had set up the cameras, the digital recorder on the table. We were conducting EVP in the ballroom in historic Jordan Springs, and we were asking questions. We were trying to communicate with Edgar. It was believed that his spirit was in the ballroom or more or less stayed in that general area. And some of the questions that we were talking about, we were trying to get Edgar to make contact with us. We knew his spirit was there. We knew he was with us that night, and we were asking for chairs to move, you know, and it wasn't as immediate, but shortly thereafter, you know, there would be a chair moving. And, you know, while we had that technical problems, I was just sitting here thinking, and I recall, and maybe Jonathan can make a comment in the chat room. I'm pretty sure he also, right when I saw this ball, this sphere of light or energy, whatever it was, move in this serpentine pattern across the doors, I'm pretty sure right after it disappeared into the wall, he had said that he had seen a shadow.
Yeah, he did.
Or something, or you, maybe it was you too, John.
Yeah, because, you know, those double doors, you know, are like, they're giant doors. They're what, 9 feet tall, big wooden doors? And because they're interior doors, they don't actually quite come together in the middle. Shortly after the whole thing with this ball of energy that was actually, according to what you and Tony Wallace, the owner, said, was emanating light as it passed in front of this door, and actually the light was reflecting onto the door.
Correct.
You heard noise out into the lobby, because these doors open into the lobby of the hotel. And when you mentioned that you heard something, I looked up at the door, and I saw a figure pass between
That's
the two doors. And then Jonathan, I mean, just pretty close to immediately, got up, went out, and looked, and there was nobody there.
Right.
So we all actually heard somebody in the lobby, and, you know, based on how quickly he got up there, you know.
Well, you know, not only did I see this, but one of the owners of Historic Jordan Springs, who was sitting to my left, Tony, she also witnessed this. And kind of one of the things that was comical, we were still live, and I don't know who it was. Maybe it was you, John.
Yeah, I asked how big it was.
Yeah, and I think both of us simultaneously put our hands together about the shape of a softball without even looking at one another. And, you know, even on the ride back home, talking with Jonathan and Vicky in the car, I'm asking, you know, do you think maybe it was one of the spotlights by the door? You know, maybe it just automatically fell, or the bulb went out, or, you know, it's very difficult to be, and I'm a very hardcore skeptic, because when I find something and we put our stamp on it, I want to make it, you know, so that it's, you know, irrefutable in the future. That is what it is at that point. And it's funny, and we were talking about this earlier, whichever way you seem to point your cameras, it always happens on the other side.
Right. You know, well, the funny thing that I observed from the live broadcast is when that happened, you and Tony both, your eyes were locked on it and watching it. And, I mean, I could see both of you, and it wasn't that your mouths hit the floor. It's just you had that blank stare on your face like something weird was happening. And both of y'all had the same expression.
You know, it's because things like that just don't happen. When, you know, I'll catch some type of – we caught some phenomenal disembodied voice of what we believe are children at the Iron Island Museum, or a child, a small boy named Tommy, and we didn't hear that. And of course, that made my skin, I got goosebumps when I heard that. But to be sitting in a room and to visually see something, and I'm the guy that seems to repel these spirits when we go out, because I'd never see anything, you know. And I guess that was so baffling for me, is that we were live. We were live when this occurred, and unfortunately, and I'm glad we got our reactions, because, you know, that adds a little bit of validity to something going on in that area. But still, to me, it's hard for me to sell that as any type of evidence when I don't have anything to prove it except for, you know, what we believe we saw.
Well, I have a question. There was one point right before the ball of energy showed up, I could have sworn I heard a chair, like, scoot across the floor. I mean, just a small nudge, but I could hear it in the background.
Oh,
and I saw you guys turn around and look.
Well,
yeah, we did.
Frank asked to give a sign. Because, you know, we were hearing, like, murmuring and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Vicky was, you know, operating the computer, and it seemed to be right next to her where there was this kind of grumbly voice thing going on. But when you asked for, give us a sign, the chair directly behind me at the table behind me scooted back. And, you know, it's great that it got picked up, you know, in terms of the live video.
Well, we're still going. We've got we've got a lot of video we're going through, and I'm glad we got to that because there's something else I wanted to bring up about the video, and we're going to look at that, you know, and try to analyze it and see if audibly we heard it, but visually, you know, we're uncertain at this point. And the camera was pointed in that direction. So we also have the other camera to the left of us that was pointed, you know, basically in our direction. So we have those two angles from behind John and in front of John to see what was going on. But later that night, and I want to skip forward now to towards the end of the night. I guess this was between the hours of 2 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. I was sleeping in this room, and John, I may look to you to kind of give a little bit of whatever history you can on this bathroom that I was sleeping in on the third floor.
Okay. Frank was sleeping in a bathroom that essentially every time we bring psychics into the building that have absolutely no prior knowledge in terms of, you know, paranormal history of it, they identify that room, which is one room out of 87. It's a 48,000 square foot building. They identify that room as having a male who committed suicide attached to it. And I, over the years, I have a number of EVPs that I've gotten in that location.
So basically, based on that knowledge, I decided to. My original thought was to sleep in the attic. The attic is exactly what it is. It's a dusty, dirty, dank place, and really couldn't see myself being up there. So I moved to the third floor bathroom, and I slept directly under the spot where we believe that this individual may have committed suicide and hung himself. And Dusty, one of the members, he's our tech guy in the group. He has this, it's a laser device, but it has these different fittings on the end, and this is a laser grid. And basically, this laser grid will shoot for miles, literally will shoot for miles. And, you know, we had to set this thing so that it would stay on, because normally, you know, you can't leave a laser lit up for that for a longer period of time. But we rigged it so it would stay on and pointed in the room. So basically every, I don't know, maybe 12 to 14 inches, there was a dot, a green dot. And you could actually see the laser shooting into the room. Now, this was all around me and above me, and I'm on a sleeping bag on the floor. And I reviewed the evidence that morning when I woke up, but there were some times during the course of the night, and we did have some movement in the up and down the stairwells from different members of, I believe, your group, John, who were still investigating. But you can clearly hear that on the videotape, but there were other times when it was completely silent, when you would hear things in my general area. And we're talking with Jonathan, who is closely reviewing that footage. He believes that we've captured possibly an EVP from that room, but you definitely hear different sounds from coming inside the room. But the really interesting thing is about 4 a.m. while I'm sleeping and snoring, you see this wave of darkness come across the lasers. And as they fade out, they come back on again as if something is passing in front over top of me and then coming back by again. And with talking with Jonathan, we're not sure. Of course, we don't know what that was. It had to pass in front of the camera, of course, to be recorded.
Right.
Had to pass somewhere in a room to break those laser beams. But was it a body swinging? We don't know. But it was definitely something. And he described it to me, and, you know, I looked at it on the little screen, not the big screen, but it looks as though it's a wave of darkness that passes through.
Okay, so just because other people haven't been there, Frank, tell them how many windows are in that room.
Zero.
And the door, was the door open? Did you have
the door was, in fact, open to the hallway.
Okay,
what's
directly across from that? A wall, correct?
A wall, yeah, there's a wall. There's a hallway out in front and a wall, and the camera was taped to a chair, pointed directly across the hall into the room, through the opening of the room, so that if anybody passed through that hallway in the course of the night, then they would trip that laser and they would trip that camera and I would see what was going on. And that's why we did that, just to make sure that we had integrity with what we were videotaping. And the room is only, I'm going to say it's probably, not even 50 square feet. I mean, it's a very...
Right.
It's a very small room. It has a sink and a toilet and a shower, and it's interesting. It's like three lockers, and inside of each locker is one of those three things, a sink, a toilet, and a shower. So I laid out on a tile floor in a sleeping bag directly, like I said, in the only area really where you could. So it was almost like a little tomb, you know, being stuck in there. I know Jonathan slept in the billiards room where there's been some really negative energy, and he was hoping to encounter, you know, some of that negative energy on film. As crazy as that may sound, that's what he was looking to do, and I, you know, we still got to go back and look at that, but I don't believe he had anything of great evidence that occurred that night while he was in that room. Skipping forward a little bit more, I'm gonna ultimately finish where we were in the attic. Now, one of your guys, Tim Campbell, this is one of the investigators for Shenandoah Shadows, sent me an email of an EVP he picked up. This is after we investigated, mind you, but he sent me an EVP that he picked up on April 2009 up in the attic. And, John, were you guys on a tour with someone during that EVP, do you recall?
Yeah, that was actually a public event. Remember, initially when you guys first were checking out, we'd invited you to one of our public events.
Right.
And, you know, it was a similar type thing.
Right. And he, I think it was a gentleman, and Tim was recording, and the gentleman said, if I had to bet money on it, I would swear she was right there. Right after that, you clearly hear a female voice say, I'm down here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to use that when we do our piece. But the night of our investigation, while we were all in the attic, a couple things happened that were captured on video. And it was interesting enough. And, you know, you've got people, that's one thing I'm glad we're on this topic. A lot of the investigators out there, they don't really give, I think, enough credit to some of these spirits that they're investigating. Because these were people. These were just like you and me, and I believe they're still highly intelligent. Because, you know, there is interaction when you turn your recorders off. How many times when you turn your recorder or your camera off, do things happen?
Right.
And it's too late at that point. So we were doing EVP in the attic, and while we were doing EVP, I had my camera rolling, and Jonathan had his camera rolling, and we captured on video where Vicky actually went flying. She went flying forward like she was being pulled, which we picked up on video. Right after that, we decided to stop EVP, and I mentioned.
Wait, can I stop right there, Frank?
Yeah, sure.
At that point, do you remember how much Vicky had to drink?
Absolutely, just water.
That's right.
Yeah, she just had water.
I'm just teasing her.
Yeah, she's probably still in the chat room. But yeah, we picked it up on video, and she very violently kind of moved forward as if something was either pushing or pulling her towards the swinging chain in the front where I was standing.
Well, I was standing next to her when that happened, and, you know, what was interesting was she was genuinely perplexed on what had happened. I mean, it was confusing because she was like, first of all, where we were standing, I mean, it's, you know, flat wooden flooring.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And she wasn't moving or anything, and for her to, like, stagger forward like that, it just was kind of unusual, to say the least.
It was, you know, you can look at, for me, right off the bat, we're going to look at different things. We're going to look at fatigue. We're going to look at the floor she was standing on. We're going to look at alcohol consumption. And those three elements weren't there. So, you know, then moving forward, I had told Jonathan, you know, I asked him, let's go ahead and cut off the recorder, turn it off, and we'll review it. John, you were right there in the room. Once he cut that recorder off, do you recall what happened?
Oh, I know. When he started it again?
Yeah.
The playback?
Yep.
You know,
they're playing it back. Right, exactly. And we all heard it.
Yeah, there was this voice that came across, and initially we all thought it was on the recorder, and then all of a sudden it dawned on everyone that it's like, oh, no, that's a real-time voice. So we all heard a disembodied voice up there of what I believe was the young girl.
I totally agree. We've captured it. I think Tim may have captured it on his digital recorder from your group.
Uh-huh.
And I know I captured it on our Sony camera.
Now, I've got, at this point, I've got a number of recordings of her. And that's the other thing that's absolutely in my mind, which just sets Jordan Springs apart from just so many other places, is the fact that we've been investigating there since October 2008, and there are certain spirits there that are intelligent spirits, and we continually get audio evidence of them. And that little girl is about as interactive as she can be, because I have recordings of me where you'll hear me asking, do you want to play hide and seek? And then you've heard it. You hear this little girl go, seek, just like that.
I heard it.
And we heard that in real time, me and another investigator.
Right.
So, it's a pretty amazing place.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. I highly recommend. I know you guys, believe you guys are having another public function on October 29th. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And we're going to be doing a live radio investigation for an hour out of that time where, we'll kind of, tell people what's going on and whatnot. So.
Yeah, I highly recommend, anybody who's listening, if you're in the chat room, you're hearing this, I highly recommend if you can, you go out there and you join in on that event because something's going to happen while you're out there.
So Frank, did Jordan Springs feed you well that night?
Oh, yes, they did. As a matter of fact, I've eaten twice at Jordan Springs, but on this particular occasion, I believe they have a brand new
chef.
executive chef. Yeah, and she was just fantastic. The food was just – we've never been treated that way on an investigation. Like I said, most of the stuff we do are historical locations, so it doesn't normally happen like that. But yeah, that was it was fantastic. Most hospitable place we've ever gone out and investigated, and we really look forward to coming back out there in the future. And, we're starting on this documentary now. There's a lot of video to go through. There's a lot of, B-roll footage that we have to put together to make this thing work. So, and it's a process, It's a long process. But in the end, it's going to be a win-win for Historic Jordan Springs, Adventure Miss, and of course, Shenandoah Shadows.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to investigating with you guys again. I mean, for me, it's really great when we get, another set of eyes, another set of investigators who have, different equipment and have different life and professional experiences come up and then end up having the same type of experiences that we have,
Well, it validates in your mind what you've gone out, what you set out to do. And when you've got another group that comes in there and, on the same lines, validating the same things that you picked up, then you're like, okay, we're definitely onto something here. The research door is wide open at Historic Jordan Springs. And I believe you guys have just stumbled onto the tip of the iceberg. I mean, I know there's a lot of history with that place, and I think there's still more information that none of us really know yet that still has not been uncovered.
Well, listen, Frank, I just want to be straight up with you and your team. Anytime you guys want to come up there and they're not running events, I'll make it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. I would like to come back and do a full-on investigation with some experiments in that attic. And basically this time, I think the next time we come out, I want to stay. We're going to stay in that attic, several of us. And that itself that'll be its own video because it's going to be enough to be able to stay. When you have physically heard audibly this unexplainable sound of a female voice coming from somewhere within these historic walls all around you, and you're going to stay up here now, and you're going to try to document this further. Not many folks are able to do that, that's something I really would like to look into, in the future. I'd like to also, because I know we're you're right, that hour went by really quick.
Yeah.
I want to mention to folks, too, that, to stay in touch with us. We've got a Facebook site, AdventureMiss.com, on Facebook. You can go to our website, AdventureMiss.com, and we've got up to, all of our stuff's posted on there, our investigations. I know we're doing some work now. One of my IT guy, Mike, in the group is constantly working on our site. And our DVDs are available on Amazon.com as well as our website. And recently we just added the Iron Island Museum. That should be available here at the end of October. Besides YouTube, you can catch all of our stuff on YouTube as well.
Well, I saw also you'd posted stuff on JustinTV.com.
Well, we that's where we did our first live stream broadcast from, was from JustinTV. One of the things that I really, and not to give a bad plug for JustinTV, they're great, but you have to log in. You have to be a registered member to be able to view and use that site, or you did at that time frame. With live stream, you just click on it and you're in. and it gives it a little bit more ease. So people really don't want, sometimes they just won't go through that extra step of picking a username and, you know, a password and waiting to get in. So we chose live stream's really good, and they have, you know, they have a lot of different options that you can choose. And, you know, it's something that not many groups, I think, I'm not going to say we were the first ones to start doing live stream for live investigations. There's other groups, I'm sure, that are out there. But locally around this area, it's something that I think that we kind of basically set the motions forward with it. And it's something we're going to continue to do, because we certainly can't take more than a handful of folks into an establishment. But we can go on at least with live stream and, you know, bring, you know, hopefully hundreds of thousands of people eventually in the future live right then and there to see something that may happen. You know, that's also giving back to the community like we give back to the historical locations.
Well, I have a question, not to get too far off topic, but what is the wildest thing you guys have experienced so far in all the different places you've gone?
You know, it's not going to take me long to think of an answer for that. I'd have to say, for me, it was Centralia, Pennsylvania. Have you ever heard of Centralia, Pennsylvania?
No.
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
Have you?
Well, Centralia is a location that was inspired for the film Silent Hill. And back in the – I may be wrong with my dates, so if I am, that, you know, forgive me. Back sometime in the late 50s, early 60s, it was the coal mines up in Pennsylvania. I believe a garbage dump or somebody set fire in a garbage dump, which set fire to a coal vein, which started this massive coal-burning fire underground in Centralia, Pennsylvania, and it has been burning ever since and still burns to this day. And old Route 61 up there is split open like an earthquake, and there's still festering sulfur and smoke that comes out of the ground from this coal mine burning. We actually did an experiment with a flat rock deep inside one of the crevices and fried an egg. That's how hot the ground is up there.
Oh, wow.
So it has nothing to do with paranormal, but, you know, that's part of what we're about as well. And I'm really glad you asked that question, because I didn't want to not touch base on that before we get off here. But
right, because, well, you know what? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Adventure Misses, we're not just about paranormal investigations. We also do a lot of adventurous explorations at the same time. We look at a lot of different legends that are out there, you know, in places like Centralia, how these things started, you know, and different areas, you know, that Ringing Rocks, Pennsylvania. Another great place we went to, where basically the rocks ring like bells when you hit them with a hammer. We got a video on that on YouTube, so you can check that out. But go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to make mention, you know, that's one of the things that do set you apart. You just pretty much said what I was going to say. You know, that most people are specialized, and it seems like you guys are actually going out and checking a little bit of everything.
We do. You know, the only thing we haven't chased down yet is Bigfoot. And there's so many people doing that, I think we can just kind of, you know, stay in the background on that one. But there's so many different things out there. And again, it goes back to, you know, a volume of people who see and experience these things. And to me, that just gives a lot more validity than someone who misses their Uncle Henry, who they believe is, you know, still haunting their living room. So for us to be able to go out to these places, El Morro in Puerto Rico, a lot of the castles and the western shores of Ireland, create these small videos. You know, people just can't – we've gotten numerous comments on YouTube thanking us. Eastern State Penitentiary, hey, I always wanted to go there. We appreciate you guys giving us that tour, that in-depth tour. You know, and again, we've got nothing to gain off this. We just want to be able to share what we see, what we experience, and be able to give back and do it in a professional way and basically carve a path where no one else has gone. And that's what we intend on doing.
That's cool.
That's good. I think you're well on the way to getting there too, Frank.
You know? I appreciate that, yeah. Well, you know, again, we look forward to working with you guys. We've worked with several other groups. And John, I'm going to say that right back to you with your team. You know, you guys are very professional. We really enjoyed working with you guys, and we hope to work with you guys again in the future. Worked really well with Buffalo Paranormal up in New York. You know, and again, we'll continue to go out there. Just this year in January, we were out in Mexico, went out to the Yucatan, exploring a lot of the myths and legends with Chichen Itza, one of the eight wonders of the world. You know, we're all over the place, and we'll continue to be all over the place, and we'll continue to be, you know, giving that back. So, you know, keep tuned. Keep checking us out.
Hey, Frank, I just want to give you a heads up. Evidently, the shaman was checking your team out, you know, during the investigations and stuff, because I was over at his house yesterday, and he's asking me, you know, what I thought of you guys and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, there's a possibility that we may all be getting invited to investigate that haunted cave on that Apache reservation in New Mexico at some point.
Oh, you know, that would be, you know, we are totally in for that. You know, if that can happen, we will make that happen. That would be really interesting.
Yeah. Well, Frank, I want to thank you and for, you know, being on the air with us tonight, and, you know, thank, you know, Vicki and Jonathan for joining us in the chat room. It's you know, we've pretty much shot through our hour here tonight.
I want to say thanks to you guys for having me, you know, letting me come out here and spread my spiel about Adventure Myths. It's a passion for us, you know, for all of us, and I can't thank my team members enough. You know, without those guys, I would not be where I'm at today. You know, and that goes to the past members and the present members I have now. And it's appreciated tenfold back to them as well. So, thank you.
Hey, Frank, I have one quick question for you before we need to wrap up tonight. I'm building this demon trap, and I was wondering, could you recommend any type of particular cheese that might be effective in that?
Munster cheese always works with demons, definitely.
Okay, good. All right, thanks. So that's just an inside joke. Anyway. All right, Frank. Well, thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Who's on Paranexus Universe?
Well, let's see. This Thursday, October 21st, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, Psychic Perspectives, Autism and the Psychic Connection with Lori Del Rio, hosted by Gregory P. Kemp. That'll be a pretty good show. And we'll be back on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, as usual. And I think that's pretty much what we got going this week. And, I really enjoyed Frank being here. That was a good interview. I had a blast watching the live broadcast you guys did.
Well, you know.
Thank you.
Jordan Springs was also pretty excited about that, and was, you know, talking to me later about hardwiring the third floor so we can, you know, not have issues with streaming video and stuff like that. So
it definitely sounds like a future plan. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, if that's everything, I thank everybody in the chat room for showing up tonight, and John, appreciate you hosting, and Frank, I appreciate you showing up and talking with us about everything. And
sure,
everyone,
no,
just join us Thursday night for Paranexus Universe, and join us again Sunday for Informal Paranormal, and we'll see you later. Take care, everyone. Okay, guys, we're muted.